Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. This is our Bible study segment, and I'm here with our teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy.
And we're in the book of Genesis, ladies. We're about not even halfway through, I don't think, but Genesis 25. And we're going to be looking at a couple verses here today, verses 1 through 34. And Connie, what's the overall theme of this one?
Well, truly in chapter 25, we're coming to the end of Abraham's life. And then we're going to see, in a sense, that the torch is passed on to Isaac and then especially to Jacob.
All right. So the way we do it here with Connie is that we read the chapter, we read verses, all right? And then Connie's actually going to be the one to teach. And as you listen to this, listen for God's timeless truth in this. And we're ready. Here we go, Genesis 25. And it starts this way. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Joktan, Madian, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Asurim, Letushim, and Lumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah and in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son, and Isaac settled in Beer Lahai Roy.
Thank you, Amy. Well, we've seen already that Sarah died a little while ago, and then we find out that Abraham took another wife. We're not sure exactly when that happened, but she didn't have the same status of Sarah. She was a concubine, really, and they produced six children, and one of those, Midian, we're going to hear of again later in the Bible. The priest of Midian, Jethro, was Moses' father-in-law, and so these are important people, and they'll be showing up at times elsewhere in Scripture. We also find, though, in verse 5, it says Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, meaning that Isaac was the son of his promise. And so the bulk of Abraham's wealth and prosperity and just everything he had went to that son of promise, Isaac. And then it tells us that he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines. And remember that Ishmael was the son of Hagar, and then Keturah had six sons there. And then also it says, while he was still living, he sent them away from Isaac. And again, they were separated from Isaac, who was that child of the promise. And then we find out that Abraham was 175 years old when he died. So he lived in Canaan for 100 years, more than half of his life, and he died there. And interestingly enough, Scripture tells us that he died in good old age, an old man and full of years, which in the Bible means he lived well, he ended well, he was walking with the Lord. And then it says he was gathered to his people, and that means he was gathered to his people in the afterlife. And so it really speaks to life beyond death. And we'll see that elsewhere in Scripture, that same kind of phrase. And then we find that Isaac and Ishmael came together and buried him in the cave with Sarah, as we'd found out a couple chapters ago where she was buried. And then we find that after the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son. And so we're understanding that God's promise to Abraham went on to his children. And so that promise did not end with Abraham. He was a man of faith. He's our father in the faith, but this promise is continuing. And so we also know Abraham did not realize all those promises God gave him during his lifetime. Some of them were going to be fulfilled later. And that's part of, in faith, Abraham was buried there in the land, knowing he had not fully received everything God had given him, but it was to come in the future.
All right, now picking it up in verse 12, these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael named in the order of their birth: Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Abdeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Timar, Jetur, Napshish and Kedema. And now these are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their encampments, 12 princes according to their tribes. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinsmen.
All right, and so here we have an account of what became of Ishmael, the generations of Ishmael. And we find out, as God had predicted, he was going to have 12 sons, 12 princes who were going to be chieftains of tribes, which were known in the day of Moses when this was written. And then we also find out that that last verse, last part of 18 says he settled over against all his kinsmen because the Lord had predicted that he would live in hostility. He'd be a wild donkey of a man. And so previously here in Genesis, we'd seen some things about Ishmael's life. Going on, though, now we're going to find out about the generations of Isaac, and that's going to be the focus of today's study.
All right, starting in verse 19, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be the stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob.
Thank you, Amy. Wow, are we learning a lot about this family so quickly. We find out that Isaac, Abraham's son, had a wife, and then she was barren, and that's been a recurrent problem here in Genesis, the same problem with Sarah. And interestingly, in verse 21, it says, Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Mm-hmm. Abraham didn't do that. Later on, Jacob's not going to do that, but Isaac did, and that's a wonderful thing for him to do that. It says that the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah conceived. And then we find out that she actually is bearing twins, and they are fighting so much inside her womb that she then prays to the Lord and says, "If it is thus, why is this thing happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord gave her an answer, and he told her that two nations were in her womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Mm-hmm. And so when she gave birth to these boys, these two twins, the first came out all red, and his body was like a hairy cloak, and so they called him Esau because the Hebrew word for hairy, Sia, sounds like Esau. Mm-hmm. And then also later on we're going to find out that he has another name, Edom, which is also red, and red's going to recur again as far as this child. And then we find out that the second one born, came out with his hand holding on to Esau's heel, and he was given a name Jacob, and which sounds very close to heel, and the people of that time had a saying about cheating, actually, and it was he who holds on to the heel or he who cheats. And so Jacob already has a name meaning he cheats or he deceives. Yeah. And bottom line, as we go through the next few days in Genesis, we're going to find out both of these boys are just rascals. They are not godly young men to start with. But then we find out that as the boys grew up, there was favoritism going on because Esau was an outdoorsman and a hunter, and he shot with his bow and arrow game, and that pleased his father Isaac. And so Esau was Isaac's favorite. And then we find out that Jacob was a quiet man. He liked to dwell in the tents. He probably thought more and all, and he was the favorite of Rebekah. And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Actually. Well, let's pick this up in verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
All right, so what is a birthright? Birthright had to do with the oldest child, the first son born, and it really, in that time, meant that that person would receive a double portion of the inheritance and would also actually be the family head, would lead the family spiritually and physically, and it was a leadership role, actually. And we're finding from this passage that it says Esau despised his birthright. It didn't matter to him. He didn't care, but Jacob actively sought it. It was important to Jacob. And we're finding that in this account, Esau comes in from the field. He'd been hunting. Obviously, he wasn't successful. He's famished. He's starving. And Jacob presses the advantage and gets Esau to barter his birthright for some red lentil stew. Crazy. But that's how little Esau valued that spiritual and family leadership. And so he did that.
Yeah.
And we find in Hebrews, it tells us a little bit more about it. Amy, if you'd read that, just a little one line about Esau.
Yeah, it's Hebrews 12:16. "See to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal."
All right. And so today, you know, as we're looking at this family, we can already see it's set up for disaster in a sense. There's conflict between the boys. There's favoritism amongst the parent. There's competing desires and all. But bottom line is, what is going to happen? And how is God going to have this happen that the older son will serve the younger?
Oh, interesting. And Connie, thank you so much for teaching today. Ladies, there's much more to discover in our Bible study guide. You can download that on our website, naomistable.com, along with this 10-minute podcast. We're going to take a little break and talk more about this with Nancy LeMay when we come back.